God's grace and peace are yours in Jesus. Amen. God's word for our meditation today, Malachi chapter 4, previously read. In the name of Jesus, who was and is to come, their fellow redeemed. Tell me, sir, are you counting the days till Christmas? I expect some of you are. Maybe the younger ones here can't wait for Christmas to get here, right, to get all the presents. There may be others, however, who aren't so sure they're ready for Christmas yet. They hope it doesn't come too soon. We've got presents to still buy, cards to send, another sermon to write. I'm not quite ready for Christmas. Regardless of what group you are in, you realize that Christmas is going to come on the same day for both groups, whether you're ready or not. You realize the same thing is true for another, even more important day, the day we call Judgment Day. There are a lot of people in our world who will not be ready for Judgment Day. They're not even thinking about it, right? It's not even on their radar. I mean, they aren't prepared. I mean, if I remember right, there wasn't any pre-Judgment Day sales this week. In fact, they don't even believe it's coming. They don't believe in Judgment Day. On the other hand, there may be another group of people who do believe that Jesus is going to return to judge this world, the living and the dead. But those people, maybe you and me, can find ourselves wondering what's taken Jesus so long. I mean, how bad does this world have to get before he pulls the plug on it? You realize that it's to both groups of people, both those who say, oh, there'll be no Judgment Day, and those who say, why isn't it here yet? That God in his word says the very same thing to both groups. He says, what is our sermon theme today? Surely the day is coming. Now, for us to fully appreciate those words, I want you to imagine a scene. I want you to imagine that you are a sixth grade student. Do we have any sixth graders here? We got any sixth graders? Okay, good. Okay, you're all sixth graders right now. You're sitting in class, and suddenly the teacher is called out of the room. And at first, everybody's quietly working. But it doesn't take too long before people are starting to look around, and a little bit of chatter, and then there's some giggling, and then some laughing, and the next thing you know, there's papers flying around, and kids are getting out of their seat, and they're walking around, and somebody's up in front pretending he's a teacher, and others are going back into his desk and finding his secret stash of candy, and you're going, where's the teacher? And pretty soon, you can't stand it any longer, so you finally say, come on, guys, we need to just be quiet and sit nicely. Oh, my goodness. You thought it was bad before? Now they're railing on you. Who do you think you are? Little Miss Goody Two Shoes. What are you, the teacher's pet? You can't tell us what to do. Who do you think you are? You better just keep your mouth shut. And so you do. You kind of hunker down, you close your eyes. And you wonder when it's all going to end. Tell me, if you're that sixth grade student, what emotions are you feeling? What thoughts are going through your head? How about, why are they acting like this? Don't they know any better? And this isn't right. This isn't fair. Here, I'm trying to behave, and they're ridiculing me while they're doing all the wrong things and they're getting away with it. In fact, if this is the way it's going to be, why don't I just join them? If doing the right thing means I get abused, I might as well do the wrong thing. If everybody else is goofing off, why shouldn't I? My friends, you know why I took you back to that sixth grade classroom? Because that classroom without the teacher is the world in which Malachi lived. In fact, it's the world in which we live. 400 years before Jesus came, Malachi lived in a world where the nation was doing wicked things. The rich were oppressing the poor. The powerful were preying on the weak. The priests who were supposed to be leading people toward God were leading them away from God. And what's worse, it seemed like they were all getting away with it. The faithful were not being rewarded for their obedience. And so Malachi records the sentiment of the people in his nation. They say, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements? Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Can you relate? Is the world that Malachi lived in that different from our world? Aren't there ways that our world is a little bit like a classroom without a teacher in it? You look around, people doing whatever they want to do, right? They aren't living under some higher authority. They aren't recognizing that. It's kind of like, I'm going to do what I want to do. If I want to leave my wife for somebody else, I can do that. If I'm going to cheat, I want to steal, I want to defraud other people, man, I might even get rewarded for it. My bank account will get a little fatter. If I want to defraud and defame other people, if I want to bully them and intimidate them, and I can get away with it, well, I'm going to do that. And in fact, if you try to stop me, if you tell me that I'm wrong, in fact, if you don't condone what I'm doing, if you don't support my right to do what I want to do, then I'm going to call you a bigot. Let me say, you're judgmental. You're intolerant. You think you're better than everybody else. And because that's how I feel, I'm going to make sure that you pay for it. I'm going to run you in the dirt. I'm going to ostracize you. I'm going to shun you. I'm going to haul you into court. Or I'm going to say that you're an infidel and I'm going to take your head off. You realize this is what happens when the teacher, when the one who has the authority to lay down the law, to punish the lawbreakers, this is what happens when that someone leaves the room. Or in our case, when he ascends into heaven. But should this surprise us? You remember what Jesus told his disciples about what their life would be like after he leaves? He tells them, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. And again, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Now, if that's true, if it's true that believers are going to be persecuted, I mean, if it's true that life is not going to be fair, if it's true that it seems like the inmates are running the insane asylum, well then, why don't we just join in with them? I mean, if doing the right thing means we get abused, why not do the wrong thing? If everybody else is doing it, why shouldn't I? The answer? Malachi tells us. Surely the day is coming. In other words, the day when the teacher comes back into the room. Or in reality, the day when Jesus comes with all his glory and all his angels and lays down a final verdict. He will divide the sheep and the goats. He will say to those who trust him and who evidence it in their lives, he will say, as Matthew records, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." But to those who refuse to acknowledge that he has authority over them, those who are determined to do their own thing and disobey God's commands, Jesus will say, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Here in our text, Malachi describes that fiery day of judgment with these words. "Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them." Certainly, anyone who thinks that there will be no judgment day, it'll never come, don't worry about it. Here's a pretty strong wake-up call. You might call this the fire alarm, right? What did God once say? "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction." So if that is true, or maybe I should say, because that is true, how are you supposed to feel about Judgment Day? I mean, are you counting the days because you can't wait for it to get here? Or are you counting the days hoping it never comes? Well, that depends on what you think is going to happen on Judgment Day. If you think that when Jesus returns, he's going to reward all the faithful people, you better be afraid, because you and I are not faithful to God. We joined in with all those lawbreakers. Too often, we've done our own thing. We deserve the fire of hell. On the other hand, if you believe that somebody went to hell in your place, if you believe that Jesus was punished on a cross for you, if you believe what God says, that Jesus' righteousness is yours as a free gift, then that changes everything. That makes Judgment Day a wonderful day. It makes Judgment Day a day that is a new morning. In fact, isn't that how Malachi describes it? "But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings." You see the picture that Malachi is painting? For years, we have been living in this darkness of an unbelieving world. And our bodies ache with the effects of sin in us and in the people around us. But through the eyes of faith, the dawn is coming. We can see that the sun is about to rise. And whether you spell sun, S-U-N, or you spell it S-O-N, when the Son of Righteousness appears, we'll step out into the light, the sunlight. And the rays of that sun will warm our bodies. They'll heal our bodies. We'll be set free from the effects of sin in us. That, my friends, will be a wonderful thing. In fact, Malachi talks about how we will feel on that day. He says to you, you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Have you ever seen that? We got any farmers here? Go on YouTube. Leaping calves. They click their heels. If calves could smile, they would be smiling, right? Leaping when they're released from the pen. That's you on Judgment Day, right? By the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, you will be released from all the chains of guilt and pain and sin. You will be released. Your bodies will be healed. Your bodies will be glorified. That's why it will be a glorious day. A day that you can be ready for. A day you can prepare for. This week, I expect we're all getting ready for Christmas. And yet, Christmas is just a precursor. It's a taste. It's a glimpse of an even greater day. The day when Jesus comes to rescue us, to take His people, body and soul, to heaven where we will live with Him forever. What a glorious day that'll be. Can't wait. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.